Good Monday. Today is September the 22nd, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, today we're going to visit with Chad Warner, a farmer from Dark County, also a member of the Ohio Soybean Council, who recently traveled to the country of Uganda to learn a little bit more about aquaculture and help promote Ohio soybeans. We'll be back with that and more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
I'm joined today by Chad Warner. Chad is a soybean farmer here in the Buckeye State, also a member of the Ohio Soybean Council, and Chad, probably a title we could add, is World Traveler, as you have literally been all around the world right now on behalf of Ohio's soybean farmers. I guess let's start off, first off, a place I have to go back and look on the map, Uganda. Tell us where Uganda's at, and what was your trip there about?
Yeah, well, so back in June, we had traveled to Uganda, which is a country, landlocked country in East Africa. And there we attended their Africa and Aquaculture Conference. So there was farmers, feed millers, everything to do with aquaculture there. And we did some breakout sessions where we worked with farmers on how to improve their operations. And in the end, that's, you know, to generate more demand for soy products.
Sure, that makes sense. What does aquaculture look like in a country like Uganda that's landlocked? Is it similar to how we think of as commercial inland fish farming in America, or is it more primitive, more advanced?
So Uganda sits on Lake Victoria, which is the second largest lake in the world. So they have some aquaculture out there, and then they have a pond and raceway systems, aquaculture inland as well. They've fished the Lake Victoria to almost its extinction, and it's not sustainable. So now there's a more of a push to do inland aquaculture, or do aquaculture out on the lake, but providing the food for the fish out there with using soy in the diet as their protein source to make it more sustainable.
Very interesting. Well, from there, you had some more recent travels. Tell us about that in a slightly different organization within the soybean family.
Yeah, so, and then in August, I had traveled with WISH, World Initiative for Human and Soy Health. There, we went to Cambodia and did the closing ceremonies for a project, for the Cambodian project, where it was one of the first WISH projects that was done, and we were able to see what the aquaculture and poultry industry was prior to, and then after this 7-year project, measuring on what impact the project did and how much demand it created for soy.
A lot of interesting work going on all around the world on behalf of not only Ohio soybean farmers, but U.S. soybean farmers with these projects. Things maybe that we wouldn't normally think of as just generating demand, but actually building the infrastructure, building that knowledge base behind it to then be able to sell soybeans into those regions.
Yeah, you know, the WISH goes in and they start the conversations and start the training and to teach people all about soy. You have to start somewhere to help offset some of our loss, you know, the losses that we've experienced here with the tariffs and the loss of China. So we got folks out there working for us to establish those markets.
Well, Chad, I'm curious, as you visited these countries, and you mentioned that you had a chance to visit with farmers, and a lot of farmers have similarities wherever you're at in the world, what are some of the challenges they're facing?
Yeah, I mean, when you get to talking with farmers, we have a lot of the same conversations that U.S. farmers have together. And one of the biggest ones that I've found, especially in Africa, is their interest rates. A farmer can't get a loan over there. If they do, its interest rates are 28% to 32%. So it's really restricting the growth of them. That's why they're not growing.
We've also mentioned, and I've heard time and time again, that the quality of U.S. soy is known around the world, but getting that soy to people is also a challenge. Then they may want it, but the infrastructure, logistics behind that. Tell us more.
Yeah, I mean, especially in Africa, that the issue is the supply chain and getting it there. Everywhere I've traveled throughout the world, they want U.S. soy. They know the benefits of it. We have the highest quality. In some cases, they're using it to blend with the South American product just to get the quality up. But the issue is the infrastructure and the supply chain and getting it to them. And figuring all those supply chains out, that's the challenge. And for example, in Cambodia, everything has to go through Vietnam to get to Cambodia. So when you're selling to Vietnam, you're selling to Cambodia and many other countries in that region. So the good news is we got people working through Wish and USEC to help improve those supply chains to get our product to the people and what they want.
Well said. Again, my guest today is Chad Warner, a farmer here from Ohio that's also been traveling the world, literally, on behalf of Ohio soybean growers. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions, talk about National Farm Safety Week, and USDA's Rod Bain has this update.
An appropriate time annually for National Farm Safety and Health Week.
We always have it the third full week in September. Brings a top of mind, not only to the farmers, but also to the motoring public, making people think about putting safety first as we start to get into the fall harvest season.
And Dan Needed of the National Education Center for Agricultural Safety also notes the historical context of this yearly campaign.
FDR signed the first proclamation for National Farm Safety and Health Week way back in 1940. That was back when the National Safety Council was kind of handling and running things.
Making it the longest-running educational campaign via U.S. presidential proclamation. Needed's organization partners with the National Safety Council and other groups in putting on National Farm Safety and Health Week.
This year's theme is safety first, avoid the worst.
This year's campaign runs the week of September 21st through 27th. Like previous years, each day contains both specific themes of focus and topics presented via webinars from the National Education Center for Ag Safety and the AgriSafe Network.
Monday, it's equipment and rural roadway safety. So there are two webinars. Tuesday is health and wellness, the mental and the emotional side of things, taking a look at family health and wellness. Wednesday deals with generations of farming. So dealing with the young kids all the way up through dealing with grandma and grandpa who are still on the farm and still want to help. Thursday is confined spaces in ag, so grain bins and manure pits. And then Friday is UTV ATV, greatest new tool to come out really since the skid steer on the farms, but it has some safety hazards to go along with it.
Registration for National Farm Safety and Health Week webinars and videos on various farm safety tips and considerations are available at this web address, www.necasag.org. Click on the link to National Farm Safety and Health Week. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.